Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, buzzers, welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Batwoman After Show, the home edition. We're so happy to have you guys joining us in our homes as we do yours, and we break down episode number 17. Oh, that's me and my computer. Hold, please, just one second. All right. Apologies, because I'm trying to tune into the chat as well. All right, cool. So we have a lot to talk about, but first and foremost, let's start with our hashtag badass beast of the evening. So that's your cue, co-host, to jump into the chat right now. Start typing away, letting us know who your badass beast was for this episode. And of course, Katie, it is your turn. I'm going to set you up and let you go first.
Okay, awesome. Say them as I see them when our chat chimes in, but welcome everybody. So my badass beast, it was hard this week.
Okay.
Because I feel like everybody kind of kicked ass a little bit in their different times, but I'm gonna go with Mouse.
Because
I mean, that scene in the hospital, it was pretty, I mean, it was very Batman villain-esque, and Batman villains, if done well, are supposed to be kind of badass. And I know it's kind of an obscure one, but as soon as I saw that, I'm like, all right, Mouse. Just kind of setting the tone for how this is going to go. So
yeah, actually, it was a very close call for me. I almost picked him too, because we haven't really had a chance to pick him very often, but I'm going to go with Luke for pistol whipping his father's murderer. That was pretty badass. And the fact that he confronted him was pretty cool too, because not many people have the opportunity to do something like that in their life. And he did it with such gusto and absolutely zero fear. And so I really, really appreciated that. And we'll talk a little bit more about Luke, because I like to see him in this different light this episode. Yeah. But that's my hashtag badass beast. So for you guys who are co-hosting the show at home, let us know who your badass beast is.
Rick, I do not know how to say your last name, Rick, so I'm just going to say Rick. I am sorry. He said Mary for confronting Kate. So,
yes.
I mean, we all know, we all love Mary, so I'm not going to fight that. And Gracian, you're not late. We just barely started. That's all. So, but welcome. And welcome Tony Stark and Gracian Ryan. Yeah. We have some regulars in the chat, some new names. So
awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, hi. Welcome. Glad you're co-hosting. Let's get to the episode right away. And I do want to start with Alice, because she could have been a really good runner-up badass Bisu, because she had an amazing episode also. But the way they started this show, I don't know. I'm curious what you thought, Katie, and the rest of you at home, because as it started, I was like, I know we just came back from a hiatus. Did I miss something? You know, and then we have the sisters getting along. And as soon as things are going super smooth, I was like, okay, this has to be a dream. There's no way. But I will say I really, really enjoy the chemistry of the two women as sisters, even though it was a dream. It was so nice.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, for you, what were your thoughts, your opinions?
I thought so too. And at first I kind of had the same thought. I was like, this seems a little too happy go lucky for Batwoman. And then you're like, oh, that makes sense. I mean, it is nice to see it. I just was kind of thought it was a little weird, but then that it was explained 5 seconds later. So
Well, going into her story arc for this particular episode, I enjoyed it a lot. I think that Alice is really smart. She's really calculated. She always has been. But this time around, she was willing to put herself through bodily pain to get the point across or get what she needed. And I was like, whoa, you know? And I thought it was really interesting, too, when we did have the scene with her and Mouse. And she's like, okay, like, brother, let's get out of here. This is awful. And he was like,
participating in the therapy session and like, you know, I forget what exactly specifically the way he said it. He said that he's unburdening himself. And I thought for like 2 seconds, it was slightly adorable to see him like getting into everything and her being like, what is wrong with you? But he had some really good, excellent points in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, and by the way, this thing the chat said made me laugh. It's G1X Rider 13 was like, if Alice really wants that life, then why doesn't she stop killing people? I mean, you have a valid point. I just had to read that because I thought that was funny. I was like, it's true.
It's right. True. you know, and the interesting thing too, I mean, they made a few mentions, like we heard the name Magpie, right? When Tommy Elliot like caused ruckus and started ruffling everybody's feathers and stuff like that. And I was like, where is she? I'm sure she was there, but maybe I just didn't recognize her without the wig. But I was like, this is so confusing. And obviously, like they're all a little bit crazy, right? But this Tommy Elliot guy, for me, sort of kind of came out of nowhere and had a big part and a small part all at the same time.
Well, I mean, we saw him earlier in the season. He's the one that they put, he was in, earlier in the season, he's the one that they sent to Arkham, who later becomes the Hush plot line.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was like, he hasn't been there for, like, most of the season. He was in one episode, and I remember we talked about, like, I think he'll be back, and so now we're seeing him come back.
Right.
So, he's gonna be more, we're gonna see more of him, for sure.
So then let me ask you guys this, and I say you guys, meaning Katie and also the rest of you guys at home, the way he was behaving when he was in Arkham was obviously a little crazy. A lot of it, I think, was put on, but how many of you think that he is like a little bit like screw loose crazy, or that was just all part of his plan and plot to distract?
Bit of both. I mean, I think all the people in Arkham are a little bit crazy in some capacity. That's why they're in Arkham. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think it was completely that. So I'm like 50-50 on that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. Well, going back to Alice, though, you know, you guys are going to be like, girl, you're slow. But when she intentionally got stabbed, at first I was like, okay, she's doing this because she wants to get some sort of medical attention. And I thought she was going to try to do some sort of overtaking with the nurse or whatever. So when she did it and she returned to Mouse and she's like, I asked for extra, I'm going to call it string. So forgive me, but she asked for extra string. And I was like, what are you going to do with that? You can't unlock a door with string, you know? Yeah. And even like at the end, when old boy's face was on Mouse, it took me a second. Yeah. And I went, oh, that's what this dream was for. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I the only one that took me a few minutes to get that?
It didn't even click with me either. So I was like, wait, what? Yeah, I get you. No, I don't think you're alone in that. There's so many little things that they do in the show that I feel like you don't really notice until the after fact. And I'm not great with picking up little tiny details. Although I did find one tiny little thing in this episode that I noticed. I was like, that's weird. But I'm not usually one to notice the little tiny details. And mine was like one of those stupid little tiny nitpicky things that people notice that are little messes up. That was all mine was. But it wasn't something like that. So.
It took me a second. And I went, okay, that's why she wanted the string. I thought she was going to try to plot her escape with the nurse. But going back to Mouse's performance too, for those of you guys who missed it, because I know we were on a hiatus and we've been fortunate enough to get some of the cast to come interview with us. However, it has not been on the nights that we're doing the after show, so it's easy to miss, but we've had two. One was with Nicole Kang, so check that out. AfterBuzz TV, Batwoman After Show, Nicole Kang, just put her name in. And then this past Monday was Sam Littlefield. And he's obviously the one who plays Mouse. And so he was saying, like, this is one of his favorite episodes. He really liked the script. And so we got to see why. But just big ups to him, because what a cool just moment in his story as well, too, for him to sit there with the doctor. And I mean, you said it. Like, you said it in your badass piece. Yeah. Like, he's cool, calm, tranquil. And all of a sudden, he just, like, boom, you know? And I was like, yes, Sam. So anyways, that said, you guys, super cool guy, great actor, very talented. Like, even if you look in his extended body of work, so definitely check out his little special that he did with us.
Yeah.
So anyways, you guys are like going crazy in the chat. So hi, and I know that Grayson says that he caught it too. So good. Oh, thank you. I'm not the only one. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Katie, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just caught that one. You can keep handling the chat if something.
No, no worries. It's fine. We can tag team the chat. No worries.
Okay, cool. And then I think another like really big topic for tonight's, or excuse me, I say tonight, watch it tonight. Tonight's episode was the fact that Kate now has this internal struggle, and she's not brooding, but you know, now she's trying to figure out the fact that she finally accidentally killed somebody. And now that's, it's sticking with her. So before I go on my rant about some of the things that stuck out to me, anything for you in particular that you want to say about Kate's internal, shall I put the mask on, shall I take it off?
I think it was what I expected would happen.
Okay.
I mean, we all knew there would be some sort of PTSD and inner struggle with the aftermath of her killing him. So it didn't really surprise me at all. And I also found it interesting in the sense that Batman is also MIA right now. So it kind of makes you think, did he have a similar sort of, you know, something happened that made him be like, I can't do this anymore. So it had some symmetry, which I found interesting that they did choose to go that route instead of her acting out. They had her do the opposite, which was interesting. So,
You know, I'm sorry, I just caught this comment off the when you were talking. G1X Rider 13 says she didn't kill him in the suit. I don't get why being Batwoman was causing her so much PTSD. And that's such a great point. I didn't even actually catch that one, but that's such an amazing point. But one of the things that Kate was saying is that she felt like a fraud. Like, she's not a hero. I'm a fraud. How can I put on a super suit to save people when I've killed somebody? But my thing was this, and this is me just being me and weird and picky, but at the beginning of the show, there's this like hunt that she did or chase down with the guy. And there was like some really cool zipping action going on with the stairwell. Like, the aesthetics of the show are fantastic. But when she thought she killed the boy and she didn't, and she's like panicking, like, please don't be dead. Please don't be dead. Da-da-da. And she ran up onto the top of the rooftop and she pulled the mask off. And I was like, okay, I get no one's on the roof with you, but it is an open roof. If there's a helicopter up there, do you know that the press would have a field day with figuring out who Batwoman was? And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, you're having a claustrophobic moment, but that just doesn't seem very smart. And then she did it again when it was her, Luke. Now, mind you, oh boy, forgive me, I know I'm going to pronounce his name wrong because I spelled like two different ways on my notes, but Robolos, I think. Even though he was sort of passed out, he could have woken up at any moment and she pulled the mask off. And I was like, did you want to like have your anxiety attack over there?
That rubbed me the wrong way. I'm like, girl, people are going to see you if you keep taking your mask off. And it's bothering me too. Like,
yeah.
It's not that hard. People are going to be able to figure it out pretty easily if you keep doing that. So I had a little bit of anxiety from that. Like, it was, I didn't notice it the first time, but I noticed it the second time when they're pulling him out of the way of the bomb. I'm like, where's your...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
All right. She must be confident he wasn't going to wake up.
Yeah, I don't know. But going back to the original topic at hand, what I was going to say is, it's interesting because, you know, she's playing with this bit of quote-unquote darkness, if you will, and that's all we saw on Arrow with Stephen Mell's character, Oliver Queen, is like, but the difference is he was constantly brooding and he had no problem killing people, but he was really great at self-loathing and guilt. And then this who does deal with the guilt and is self-loathing and doesn't know how to handle the fact that she killed someone, but the person that she killed was such a bad person. And that said, too, there is the parallel of the fact that Luke came in and eventually told her that Batman killed Joker. So there's that. And I think somebody else pointed that out in the chat. And I don't know if that's necessarily why Bruce Wayne left, per se. But that obviously lets us know that the Joker is like, probably aren't going to see him unless he like revived himself somehow. We don't know about it.
Yeah. And I know... Gratian was talking about how other CW shows, they take off their masks a lot too. And I was like, yeah, no, it's an ongoing problem with all the DC superhero shows on the CW. Like, how? So I thought that too, Gratian. So, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, so that's that. But some good moments in there regardless. I did really like the fact that Kate did come in and she used what she's been going through to finally open up to Luke. And her whole thing was like the fact that, you know, you see me through a lens of being perfect. And so it was really hard for me to come clean with what I did. And for him to turn around and obviously share the Joker story too, but her to be able to stop him from doing what she had done. So he didn't have to live with the same kind of guilt she did. And I was like, it's a nice moment. I like that.
Yeah. I thought that was more emotion than we're used to seeing. You know, whenever you have the moments where Kate has that a little bit of emotion and had that human quality, it's really a nice way to break up all the rest of the, like, the super heavy stuff, for sure.
So. Right. And also, like I mentioned when I was talking about Luke is my badass piece, it was really nice to see him in that different light, you know? And that's not even just, like, the girl in me that's like, oh my god, man punching a bag with muscles, yay! There was, like, a tiny piece of that thought, too. But... It's nice to see the smooth transition. One of the things that Cameron was saying is that he actually does box and he hadn't done it for a while and then had to come back and, you know, get back into it for this particular episode. But that said, his character in the comics does do some boxing. So I appreciate the show for doing this little tiny blurb of a transition for us. So that way one day Luke doesn't show up and he's just like all of a sudden a superhero and we're supposed to buy into the fact that he was a computer nerd one day and all of a sudden the next day he's like pow look at these guns, you know. That's happened before in other DC shows. Like, I'm not going to call anybody out, but I remember thinking like, you were like just a nerd yesterday and that, like, okay, you know. So anyways, I don't know, how about for you guys, like, appreciate, like, you, Katie, what are your thoughts?
I was happy that you got to see, like, a training scene, because at first, when it first happened, when you saw him boxing on the bag, my thought was, this is really funny, considering I actually bought a punching bag and have been doing it, and I was like, oh, maybe he's just angry and he's just taking out some aggression. But I did like that they did have a scene where you're like, what's he preparing for? Like, clearly, he's doing this for a reason, and you don't normally see that. So I did think the same thing. Hold on, chat is blowing up, but yeah. So let's see, we're jumping ahead on something, but I don't see a lot of stuff about, they're talking about some other characters, but I see your comments, chat, and we'll talk about it when we talk about those characters. So
yeah. Well, Colin Pryor said that Batwing begins, so they're taking him down that road. But I appreciate easing us into it. And it was really cool to see him with so much confidence. And I get, like, the motive behind it is, like, your dad. But again, we have this character who is theoretically the nerd. You know, you always have your computer whiz, right, with your superhero team, or at least in the formula of these shows that we have right now on CW. So it is nice to have him have that duality to where, like, okay, cool. Like, he came in there and... yeah, he just, like, went for it. So I really appreciate that about him.
Yeah.
But that also leads us to the detonator and all the stuff that was going on. So thoughts, comments, concerns before I get into it, because I'm a chatty Cathy. Okay.
Yeah, I just couldn't say the name. I was like, oh, I'm trying. It's not working. All right. Like, what about it? Were you asking just, like, my thoughts on that plot?
Thoughts of the character, the motive. We finally got to see the man that killed Reggie and also the one that is responsible for Lucius Fox being murdered. I mean, was it a surprise to you at all? Were you, like, whatever?
I wouldn't say I was surprised, although someone in the chat, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was, did mention that they felt that it was a little bit underwhelming. Like, you have this huge buildup, and then after there's one episode and then all of a sudden it's over. So with the whole thing with his dad, and I think I kind of agree with that it did kind of escalate that plot line really quickly, most likely so they had other things they wanted to mention. But I did like it. It's a good twist. And what I really liked in particular about the way they handled the villains in this episode, in all of the villains that you saw, is mm-hmm. when you saw that first scene with the cop hooked up to a bomb, it felt very Gotham, very Batman universe to me. I felt like instantly, you know, this is probably going to be a Batwoman story if you were just tuning in, because it gave me vibes to, like, you know, Dark Knight and stuff like that. So I did like that we're seeing, starting to feel more like we're in Gotham. It's starting to feel like there's all these evil different entities in Gotham and making it this dark place, because we know Gotham is the darkest right. place in the DCU. So yeah, right. So.
I thought it was interesting because, well, actually, I'm curious, and this is a question for all of you, if put in that situation, because we had the officer, we had the defense attorney, and then we had commander, and the whole bit was, and this is what it was sort of like, huh, with that, like, underwhelming situation, right, is the choice between, are you going to be a hero and save people's lives that you've never met before, or are you going to save your own? Like, Dress trying to prove that people really have their best, their self at best interest. And I'm curious who would have put the bomb on themselves and how many of you guys would have done exactly what that officer did, which was like, well, sorry, bank, bye-bye, button, I'm alive.
I don't know. That's a tough situation that I hope I'm never in. That's going to be my answer for that. Because yeah. I don't want to know what I would be capable of if it was like that in front of me. Obviously, right. I would hope that I would take that and risk my own life and go somewhere that wasn't hurting anybody. But when you have, you know, that on your plate, a lot of things are going to come to your brain. And that's what makes it so eerie, is you could doubt to be good and save people, but when your life is on the line, can you really? And it's the whole, you know, if we're keeping with the Batman theme, the whole, yeah. you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain kind of right. scenario. So I have no idea. What would you?
Well, here's the thing. Like, there's no guarantee. Like, how can you trust yeah. somebody who just takes some stuff to you that you're not going to blow up anyway? Like, that they're just yeah. their own amusement, wanting to see which you're going to pick. But at the end of the day, both locations are going to blow up. That's my yeah. thought. And then I thought, well, or it could be an empty building. And again, they just want to see if you're willing to kill yourself at the thought of somebody else dying instead. But when Commander was handling that situation with the defense attorney, I thought to myself, I didn't know what path he was going to take. And when he was telling the guy, like, hold on, don't push the button. Hold on, don't push the button. You're doing the right thing. Stay calm. I would have been like, you know what, bro? I'm going to need you and your stay calm to fluff off right now. What are we doing? What's the plan? You know, yeah. because obviously the plan was to clear the area so that way he could push the button and nobody would get hurt. But in that space and time, like, we didn't see that conversation happening. We just saw Commander saying, wait, hold on. I know you only got 20 minutes. Hold on. And I was like, are you trying to talk this guy into committing suicide?
Yeah.
That is not your decision, but I get it. Yeah. So anyways, and then I also thought it was funny too. Not that it's funny, but the fact that the Commander ended up with a vest on himself.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. I mean, it makes sense, but it was something that, it makes sense. I just never would have thought that would have actually happened. So right. it was definitely interesting. And most of the chat is saying they would hope that they'd be able to save, you know, sacrifice one to save 100, or would hope that they'd be a good enough person to save all of the community. But, you know, it's hard to know. So
I don't know, man.
And then G1X Rider said that if he had a phone, I would definitely be calling for help. I mean, we'd have a phone. Unless yep. they take the phone from you, we would all have a phone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But going back to what you were saying earlier about as far as the villain being, like, a little underwhelming, like, it was sort of surprising in that, like, this dude's been under their nose for, like, the longest time ever. And I get it that he was affiliated with Tommy Elliott and all that stuff. But And maybe you can clarify, or you guys at home can clarify, but the whole choosing between yourself and the hero and trying to prove that people really aren't heroes, is that a motive that was passed down by Tommy Elliott and this other guy was just a pawn and pulling and doing all these things just for his like 10 measly grand, you know? I know the 10 grand was for Lucius Fox and he had not intended to actually kill him. But yeah. Outside of that, this ongoing thing that he's been doing for all these years, I'm like, is any of that him? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. So Chad, if you chime in on that, we'll be happy to see it. We appreciate you, Chad, by the way, for helping us out a little bit. Yeah, we do know that you know more about the comics than us, and we do appreciate your knowledge on it. So we do see your comments, even if we don't mention them. I wanted to mention that too. So
Yeah. Fun highlight moment, though, that I do have to bring up that's, like, not story-driven at all. But when Ruby, not Ruby, I say it like she's my homegirl, when Ruby came. Yeah. So when Kate went over to George Adler's house, and she went to talk to her, George Adler Jr., and she's like, hey, well, first of all, she wouldn't put on the suit, going back to, she wouldn't put on the suit, right? And so she's like, yeah, I'm just going to go. It's like, me, the realtor, or whatever. And have this conversation. And so when she walked up to the guy and she held up the newspaper and then punched him through the newspaper, I was like, that is hilarious. I have no idea why she chose to do that, unless it was like, catch him off guard. He doesn't see me cranking and winding up to hit him. But I thought that was awesome. Anyways, that's probably the highlight of the episode for me tonight. I know we haven't talked about Mary yet either, and I think it's because her moment was just such a great one. Even though she was like not in this episode a lot, the few things that she said were so impactful. But how would you feel being Mary and then having it like constantly rubbed in your face, the fact that, you know, your sister basically didn't come clean to me, and here's this like fake Batwoman running around town, bless her heart. Who here in the chat was like, good job, girlfriend? And who in the chat was like, girl, in the man voice
about the, about the girl who was coming to Mary, or about how Mary was just like acting around her?
Well, you know, I went on a tangent. I saw her with Mary, but really what I was trying to say is the girl
in the
costume, which
Go
girl or oh girl? How were you feeling?
I think I was like, no. No, that was I wasn't on board with that. I was just, it kind of felt like you felt Gotham needed someone, and when Mary made the line about, I spent all this time on this costume, she's like, then why can I cut it with my scissors? And I laughed so hard. She has a point. Like, if her scissors can cut through your costume, you are going to get messed up,
right? Like, right.
So
Look, she gets an A for effort. She had a good heart, good intentions, but yeah, totally was like, that's too dangerous. And if she, to my knowledge, we didn't talk about it, but didn't have any like fight training or anything. So you're just running around in a suit, and you're going to have all these other villains that are coming after you, not just this one person, right? Because that one was gone for a little while, which is why the crow. Excuse me, I had something coming. But that's why the crew hypothesized that the villains were coming out, because Batwoman had been gone for a little bit. Not a good idea. Curious if you guys in the chat.
I even said it was admirable with the woman pretending to be Batwoman. But, and then he was also mentioning how there is a difference between the darkness in Batwoman and the darkness in the movie version of Batwoman, how it's never been, Gotham hasn't ever been as dark. But I think they're kind of trying to find a different direction than they have, particularly maybe they did in the Arrowverse. So don't worry, Ivan. I see you. I got you.
Ivan. Don't be shouting at people.
Huh?
I'm doing it tonight. No, because sometimes Ivan will yell at me to get my attention. I'm like, no, sir, that's not work. But going back to Mary, yeah, she had some really great, awesome lines. I loved when she just was like, you know what? It's the time. It's the place. I need to get you like in the game, sweetie. So I'm just going to let you know that I know who you are. So I thought it was great. The only thing that left me felt a little unresolved, but at the same time I get, and it shows Mary's personality. She did not get angry at Kate at all. She did not say, you know, I'm hurt, even though she is hurt. And she didn't express any of these things that she's feeling, because the mature person in her, I assume, knows it's not the time or the place and they don't have a lot of time. But I just give her credit for that, because me, I would have just been like, I've known. I'm really hurt over this. Get your life together. But she handled it so smoothly.
She did. She did. And I liked that. I enjoy when people are able to bring it in. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? She's a doctor. She knows how to handle pressure situations. Although yeah. I was kind of like, when she stayed with her patients and the building was gonna blow up, but she's putting mattresses on top of them, I was like, good thought. Don't know if that's gonna do anything except for suffocate your people, but okay. But yeah, it was, like I said, good moment, good acting moment, good character moment, good story moment.
Yeah. So. And then Mary, I actually wrote down this quote, because she made one of my favorite quotes I think I've heard in the show, where she said, not asking you to be a hero, I'm just asking you to keep going. And that resonated really hard with me right now, especially with everything that's going on in our world outside of, you know, this fake world. It's still lining up. And this was before this happened. I mean, this was written before everything happened. Right. And it's just such a good message. Like, go Mary for giving hope and being like, hey, I know it's tough and you've got to do some stuff, but what matters is that we just keep going. And so I just had to give a shout out to the writers for that quote, because Batman, you want there to be some really good quotes like that, especially if you were a fan of the DCU ones. So
yeah.
I wish I could, you know, give Nicole a high five. If the interview had happened like later, I would have been like, girl,
yeah,
good job. But yeah.
That's right. Cause Nicole, I think, said that this is also coming up one of her favorite episodes as well. So there's a lot that happened. We also haven't had a chance, to talk a little bit about Sophie. We didn't see much of her, but there's a few things that we saw. One, she's really loyal to this guy who's been a jerk to her in the past, brought her back on, and she's still really loyal. Like, okay. And then I feel like they were trying to give us this like vibe between her and Julia that there's going to be a thing in the future. No?
Yeah. No, I got that too. This is me going, oh, really? Like, this is where we're going with that? And someone mentioned it in the chat too, saying that was a little weird. Like, that felt a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. We thought it was going to be like a three-way problem with like Kate and her. And I totally didn't think like, oh, are they going to have Sophie and her have a thing? So that blindsided me completely.
Well, here's my thing. If that really does happen, then I'll be a little upset with Julia. Now, mind you, that Kate already expressed at the beginning of this episode, like, let's not make a thing out of this. It just, like, happened. And Julia's like, cool. Deuce is like, we can do business. But at the same time, an X is an X is an X, and you just don't go there. So you can't get mad at Sophie's character, because she has no idea who Batwoman is. And at the same time, I don't know if she knows that that is also an X of her ex.
Yeah.
Maybe I forgot, and she does know, but regardless, if something does happen between the two of them, I'll be mad at, well, maybe.
Our chat's not on board with it either. Like, Gratian said it's cringy. Ivan says he hates that they're putting them together. And then G1X writers are, you know, the Colin Prime says it looks like they're already a thing. And that is interesting, because they did already have some chemistry, like, for this situation. Yeah.
I mean, I felt like there was a little flirtation. I don't know if there's like full-blown chemistry, like, oh my gosh, undeniable Oliver and Felicity. Like, no, I just think that there was like a little bit of something there, and they're like playing with it. I think that Julia doesn't know necessarily that Sophie plays for her team. So it's like that light hand, like, we're going to flirt and see where this goes. And if you let me flirt with you more, then I'm going to
figure it out. Yeah.
Now they're gonna be in charge of this strike team together. So, like, okay, well, Julia's not going anywhere for a little while.
Nope. Cool.
You know, and I don't know if that's also gonna be hard on Kate as well, to see the two of them together. And again, Sophie not even realizing that she just had an intimate thing with Kate. Yeah. That Kate now also has all these feelings coming up for him. So, I don't know. That'll be quite interesting to see. Ivan Soto, I hope that hurt your ears. The rest of you, I am so sorry. Don't you dare bag on Oliver and Felicity. Okay, this is not time, not place. That's all I got to say about that. Okay, cool. So we talked about, let's see, Joker's back. We know that Kate is back in action. She had a nice little lovely talk with Luke. She's, I'm assuming, not going to have as much anxiety moving forward. Oh, and by the way, we now have Alice and Mouse, who are determined to be king and queen of Arkham until appropriate to break out, I assume. I'm wondering how long they plan on staying in there.
My guess is we're going to have to wait 3 months at least.
Yeah.
Because it really depends on if they finish out the season or not, too. Because I don't know what's going on with the rest of the season, because I know that they had to cut it short.
Right.
So I feel like that's probably what they were planning for the finale, but who knows?
Yeah.
No.
You guys know off the top of your head, I'm trying to remember if this is a 20 episode or supposed to be. I just know that when we talked to the actors last week, Sam Littlefield said that they were about to do the season finale when they got sent home. So really, they're short one episode. I'm curious if we have 18, 19, and they just didn't get to 20. I'm just assuming.
I'd say, yeah, it's somewhere between 20 and 22, but when they picked it up, I don't think they mentioned it. So.
Okay.
Is
asking you to talk about Tommy Elliot. Better this episode than his debut.
Yeah, episode. I did see that question. I was going to get back to it. So thanks for the reminder. So I did think they did more justice to Tommy Elliot. I mean, I'm not super familiar with like Hush and that storyline, but from a standpoint, he was more interesting and more villainous in this episode. I felt like they gave him better content this episode than they did in like episode 3, and that could just be because they've fallen into place better with the progression of the season. So and I mean, Arkham brings out a lot in people, so
it'll be interesting to see them in their quote-unquote reign in Arkham Asylum, too, because of the fact that they are with so many other devious people that are, I'm assuming, equally as smart, or maybe not, since they ended up in Arkham. I don't know. But they're all equally dangerous people, and I'm assuming just because they do have now Mouse, who is going to be with the Doctor Sason, which, P.S., do we even know how long these faces last? I mean, what if it starts to rot on top of his face, and then the gig is up?
No idea.
I don't know
how that works.
Isn't somebody going to ask, where's Jonathan Cartwright? Where did he go? And the doctor's going to be like, well, I just set him free, or he died. Like, how are you going to explain the fact that Mouse is just gone to the rest of the staff?
Yeah. Maybe they're hoping no one will notice. I don't know.
Or care. I'm not quite sure. I'd be a little worried.
Yeah, we'll find out.
It'll definitely be interesting the next few episodes that we see them, because I'm curious as to how long they're going to keep them in Arkham. Are they going to get an army together and try to break out together and do some stuff, and she's in charge, or like, what happened to her little rabbit people? What are they doing? They don't have a job.
I have a prediction, but I'll say that when we get to that part.
Okay. Cool. Really quick, I feel like we went through the episode pretty quickly. We got through every like major moment in there. If we miss anything that you guys want to talk about, by all means, put it in the chat. Katie will let us know. And at the same time, Katie, is there anything that I missed that maybe you would like to bring up really quick?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much got it. I was just going to say it was very, aside from the show, after having our interview episodes with both Nicole and Sam, it was really interesting just to see how much they put into these roles and how different they are on the show than they are in their normal day-to-day life. And I enjoyed Malice's character so much more in this episode. I mean, he had good material for sure, I just thought that was cool. So if you haven't, I know some people got here late, and we did do interviews with both Nicole and Sam. You can check those out on the Batman special. So. Batwoman special. So yeah,
you know, and just to speak to Sam like really quick, a light mentioned the fact that before he came on the show, I was doing a little bit of homework just on him in general and watching some other things that he had done. And I mean, he's done stuff from like, he's played a woman, he's played an Irishman. He's played a Southern person, like just such a wide range. He's definitely a character actor, but in a lot of these, he changes his voice. And I'm like, yeah, that it's difficult. It's definitely a difficult task to be able to embody somebody that much. Like it's one thing to act and just have to play a range of emotions, be it like sad, happy, yada, yada, yada. But then you add in the extra element of changing everything about you. That's, I don't know, it's really talented. And so, you know, obviously he's doing that for this character as well. So appreciation, check it out, check him out, and also share. Like if you do see the interview, please share it on Twitter, not for us, but for him as an actor, like get him out there because it's really interesting. And I don't know why, but if you look at his social media, for whatever reason, he only has like 1.5, I think, followers, meaning 1,000, like somewhere in there. And he's not verified, but if you look at all the other castmates, they're all verified and they all have like somewhere in the 22,000s, if not more followers. I was like, this is really interesting. And I don't know if it is because of the fact that he is a villain and people tend to not like the villains as much, but then you've got Alice. But Alice is also like, she's a pretty girl, you know? So like, I don't know, if he's a dude, he kind of gets the short end of the stick or what the deal is. But that said, I would love to be able for us as fans to help him out and get him a little bit more attention. He deserves it. He's talented.
Agree very much.
I just went on a long tangent, so I apologize.
It's okay, no worries.
Let's check the chat though before we move on to our special segment.
Tony Stark said it might just be me, but Kate and their dad did more harm than good sending her sister to Arkham since she's going to be tortured and then break out.
Yeah, of course. That was stupid. It was really stupid. Yeah. How dare you?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be the wrath of Alice. And and I have more on that subject, but, you know, holding it for a second. So, And then they did Alice's rabbits and cats are dead. Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah. Thanks, Ivan.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. I remember that scene.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And he also said that Alice is more sympathetic than Mouse. Yeah. Well, you know, Sam said that he thinks that Mouse, from his character standpoint, you know, based on his trauma, like he thinks of things as a game, right? Yeah. So he doesn't think of it as he's killing a person. He's just like, oh, like a video game. You're dead, and I'm doing this because this is fun and this is what we're supposed to do versus the consequences. Whereas I think Alice is a little bit more conscious of it, but she just doesn't care. Yeah. So I don't know. But anyways, I think that's pretty much it. Do we want to... Hi, Adam Rodriguez, who came in late to the chat. Have no fear.
It's welcome.
Okay. Hi. Yeah, welcome. We're actually about to get into our news. You know what? Badass piece. Let's start with that, Katie.
All right. So you guys know we're doing our real life...
Okay.
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you for that, Ali Kana. So this is our segment, our special segment, where we talk about our choice for real life badass piece and like behind the scenes stuff for Batwoman within the cast. This week, and it might line up with Ali Kona's news, not sure, but basically Ruby Rose and Meg and Tandy kind of banded together to speak out against bullying in the LGBTQ community within like school settings, you know, high school, junior high, and basically are calling people to break the silence on Friday, I believe it is. Their info is all on Ruby's thing, but it's just awesome to see them using their voices for it. And whether you want to see the political stuff, it is still nice to see them advocating for something outside the show. So they get the badass beast segment for that work. So
nice. Yeah. Okay, well, so for my AfterBuzz TV news. Okay, so I wanted to highlight Rachel Skarsgård a little bit. Now, this is not like brand new holy moly news, but if you're new to her and you haven't followed her much until this show, then it'll be fun information. So her being as talented as she is and us loving her so much as an actor, I think sometimes we forget the ebbs and flows of the entertainment industry and how it can be really, really hard. And so I was reading this article and she just talks about the start of her career and how she feels like it's just been really tumultuous and it's the stuff that people don't see. And the fact that like she got into acting after her dad passed away unexpectedly of pancreatic cancer, she was like 9 years old. And so I don't know if it's like something, it didn't specify if it was just like a distraction or whatever, but that's how she got started. And then her first like really big job was when she was playing Dinah Lance on Birds of Prey. It only lasted 13 episodes, but she was 16 years old. So she was still in high school and she's from Canada and her mom couldn't come down with her because she also had siblings. So it's like she came to LA, she was all by herself. That was tough in itself being, you know, LA is just a different beast in general. You can be from America, you come to LA, it's a different beast to come from Canada on top of that. And so, you know, she did her thing and she made a good impression and then ended up leaving, had a little bit of dry spell. She went to college, which she thought was great. She's not mad at that. But then when she came back, she was not prepared for LA to not remember her. And I guess they didn't. And so she really questioned whether or not she wanted to be an actor because she was having such a hard time. So then obviously, you know, we know her from other shows that she had ended up booking. Most recently it was like Rain, I think, before this. And then I think she had a little spell and she almost quit acting before Batwoman came along. And she's like contemplating, like, what am I doing with my life? And I guess this role just came at the right time, right place. And
yeah.
Anyways, I just thought that was really, really cool because some people might not openly talk about that. Do you know what I mean? Because you want to look like you're cool and like you got it together and I'm this great actor. But the truth of the matter is whether you're an actor, singer, dancer, host, or whatever, like you have your great years and great months. And then all of a sudden you have like nothing and no one wants you, yeah. You know? So it's great that she opened up about stuff like that. So that's what I wanted to share.
Gotcha. Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Thanks, Ali Kona.
Yeah. So that said, and by the way, speaking of like good things in charity, she's also on, I am so bad at this because I have not used it. Cameo. I don't know if you're familiar. Are you guys familiar with Cameo?
Cameo?
Cameo, like C-A-M-E-O.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, so it's this thing, like a lot of celebrities and even podcasters do it to where you can go on cameo.com and a lot of, like I said, celebrities, podcasters are on there and you can ask them to make a shout out to you, but you pay a certain amount of money for it. And typically it's like, you know, you pay 10 bucks and I don't know, this isn't me talking out of my ass, but like Adam Sandler will be like, hey, happy birthday, Katie. And then, you know, you pay the 10 bucks. But with her, she's actually doing it. And it's to benefit, I do believe it's COVID-19.
Relief.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it's for that. But it's like 50 bucks, it should give you a shout out. But at the same time, the $50 is 100% going to charity. So if you do want a happy birthday or a shout out or whatever, like she will personalize and send you a video talking to you about whatever. You can show it to your friends.
That's
or
awesome.
Whatever. So yeah. Check that out. Rachel Scarson. And let's get into predictions, shall we?
Yeah, sounds good.
Prediction.
And now, you're after Buzz.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. And if you guys have predictions, just send them real quickly, chat. I'll try to shout out a few right at the end of this. My prediction is, and this is without me reading the comics, this is just based off of speculation for the show, because it could go a different route in the show.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's just going to be Mouse and Alice that bust out of Arkham.
Oh,
she's gonna bring a new gang of people with her because she lost hers.
Exactly.
That's my prediction. Yeah, that's my prediction.
That's a pretty good one. Okay, so then my prediction is, we didn't mention it, but you know, when Mary came out to Luke and she was like, I know who Batwoman is. No, she's a retailer. Not retailer, excuse me, realtor. And she has an appointment. And she's like, those are just words. Now you're just saying words to me right now. So that said, I think that she is going to become a part of the team, which we've been predicting for a while. But I think this is less a prediction and more of a like, I hope you guys do it. But I think there does need to be a more in-depth conversation between Mary and Kate about the whole situation of like, you can trust me. I'm a little hurt that you didn't. You can trust me. But I think she'll be a really, really excellent asset to the team. I do think that, as you were saying before, it was a really stupid decision to put Alice back into Arkham. I get that I don't trust her, but if you look at the psychology of everything that she's been through, like it was really, really messed up that they tricked her and put her in there when they should have just gotten her psychological help and left it at that. So
yeah,
that's my two cents. Yeah. You guys, what are your predictions at home?
Rick says Lucius Fox is alive.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's a big one. I mean, that'd be cool. I also saw someone say something about Morgan Freeman earlier in relation to that. So that would be really great if you made a cameo, just saying. And let's see. Predict Alice and her gang are going to break out of Arkham since it's a trash place and needs to be closed down, is what Tony Stark said. So we're kind of on the same page, Tony.
Tony, I think I said in common. I'm sorry. It was just like not the time. I couldn't say it, but I think he was saying earlier too that it's a trash place with all these other people. I was like, oh.
Yeah. No. So, yeah. And then Gratian Ryan says, I predict we get a Bruce Wayne appearance, but it will be Tommy Elliott instead.
Oh, okay.
All right. You know, we should write these down so that, like, in the future, if people are right, we can be like, oh, Gratian was right, or, oh, Ivan was right, you know, like, little checklist. So, yeah. But, yeah. So, thanks, chat. You've been awesome tonight so far.
Yeah. Okay, last prediction. The Joker is still alive.
Sorry, I got to jump in here, guys, because you just said, oh, Ivan was right, and I got to tell you, I don't think those words are ever going to be uttered on any show.
Enjoy it, savor it while you can.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, I think that the Joker's still alive. But that's it. I think that concludes our predictions. So you guys, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll be able to get into more episodes in the future. Again, I'm going to double check to make sure that we have more episodes when everything ends up. So in the meantime, you guys who were in the chat were awesome. Katie, thank you so much. Please tell everybody where to find, follow you, and all that good stuff.
You folks can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the letter K, letter T, underscore Christine with a C. Also on the Riverdale After Show, I know some of you watched that one, which has been pushed to Thursdays or when we can find time in our schedules for it, or on the Con Guys on Monday night at 10:10. So.
Cool. Awesome. I'm Ali Kona Bradford, which I don't think I said at all this episode. So if you're brand new, I'm so sorry. But you can find me at yours truly, Ali Kona, with underscores in between. Also, we are in conversations with John Everett, who played August Cartwright, and doing an interview with him. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. But in the meantime, like we said earlier, please, please, please check out the interview with Sam Littlefield. Like, comment, share. Get him some follows. So follow him, and of course follow Nicole Kang. Look at her interview. And then until next week, I'll see you guys later. Mwah!
Bye, everyone. Stay safe. Have a good night.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.